So perinatal mortality is basically covers the death of babies who are either born as stillbirths or babies that die in the first month of life. And for both stillbirths and neonatal deaths, for them to be counted as stillbirths and neonatal deaths, they have to be born over 20 weeks gestation, so at 20 weeks gestation or over. And for stillbirths, they need to, if they're not born over 20 weeks gestation, they need to also be over 400 grams birth weight.
So what would cause a baby to die in the first month of life?
Oh, all sorts of things. It depends on when the baby is born, at what gestation. So babies who are born generally at or before 24 weeks gestation, it's very difficult to resuscitate and keep those babies alive and well beyond that period of time. So the main causes of stillbirth and neonatal death in the report that came out recently from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare were congenital abnormalities, and that accounted for about a third of neonatal death and about a quarter of stillbirths.
And what are congenital abnormalities?
So they're abnormalities like a chromosomal abnormality or a problem that a baby's born with that makes the baby unable to survive. So it might be a physical, they're usually physical issues.
So this is the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare report that has just been released. How is Australia tracking on perinatal mortality?
Really well. It's one of the safest countries in the world to give birth. And even looking over the last 20 years, the trends in perinatal mortality have been fairly stable in Australia. We've seen a slight downwards trend in neonatal deaths and an upwards trend in stillbirths, which is interesting. But on the whole, in relation to other countries, we're pretty good.
Why is there an increase in stillbirths?
So it's an interesting one, and AIHW reported that overall, over that 20-year period from 93 to 2012, there was a 13% increase in stillbirths. It's really unclear why there is that 13% increase in stillbirths. The report that AIHW did, it's only descriptive, so they don't look at causation at all. And there wasn't enough data to look at the causes of death over that 20-year period because that came from a slightly different collection.
And interestingly, when I was reading the report, Victoria has the highest rate of perinatal mortality.
Yes, Victoria had the highest rate of stillbirth and New South Wales the lowest rate of stillbirth. But again, you have to be really careful with how you interpret that data. It doesn't mean that if you go and have a baby in Victoria that your baby's more likely to die. Sometimes what happens in large states like Victoria are that women who live in country towns on the border, say of New South Wales and Victoria, may go into Victoria if they have a higher risk pregnancy rather than travelling further to a higher risk hospital in New South Wales. But again, it's one of those things that we don't have the answer for that.
And Indigenous mothers, what are the trends for Indigenous mothers over the last 20 years?
So over the last 20 years, it's been really good, actually. We've seen a reduction in the overall perinatal mortality rate of babies of Indigenous mothers of about 20%. And that's a really nice, clear line showing that that gap between perinatal mortality of babies of Indigenous mothers compared to non-Indigenous mothers is slowly closing. But there is certainly still a long way to go. Although the gap is decreasing between babies of Indigenous and non-Indigenous mothers, they still have a much higher rate of perinatal mortality than babies of non-Indigenous mothers. So if you look at the overall population of babies born over a two-year period, over 2011-2012, 4% of those babies were born to Indigenous mothers. Yet they had, when you look at the rate of perinatal mortality, 17 babies per 1,000 births to Indigenous mothers resulted in a perinatal mortality compared to 9.6 babies out of every 1,000 babies born to non-Indigenous mothers. So there's a very big difference there still. It's still nearly double.
This is the first report we've done of this kind in Australia.
Yes, it's the first time we've looked at, or the first time AIHW or any group has looked at both neonatal deaths and stillbirths combined. So it's a very new and exciting report.
And what can health practitioners take away from it, or what can policymakers take away from it?
They can take away a whole lot of things. There were a lot of things that came out of the report that were expected. So, for example, babies of mothers who live in very remote areas have the highest rate of perinatal mortality compared to those living in major cities. Babies of women who have high socioeconomic status have lower perinatal mortality rate compared to babies of mothers with low socioeconomic status. Smoking, again, confirmed what we already know, that babies of mothers who smoke during the first or second half of pregnancy have higher perinatal mortality rates. Those sorts of risk factors that we know already exist, this type of report confirms that. And what that enables policymakers to do is to target services to people who need it the most and to reduce that inequity or unfairness in those differences. Because there should be no reason that women who live in rural and remote areas have increased perinatal mortality compared to women living in major cities. We need to look at targeting more services and things to those women to try and reduce that gap there.